All right, we're on. Back from our summer vacation, and all I got was a sunburn and a sprained ankle. Here we are again. It's Music Heads, presented by 89.3 The Current from Minnesota Public Radio. Thanks for dropping by. This is a weekly chat where a couple of colleagues and I gather around and have a little fun discussing some of the new music we're playing on the station and to find out if it's working for us. Support comes from the Red Stag Supper Club, serving lunch and dinner 7 days a week and brunch on weekends, focusing on locally farmed ingredients and featuring a Friday night fish fry. RedStagSupperClub.com. I'm the host of the show. My name's Bill DeVille. It's my pleasure to welcome today's guests. Our weekend afternoon host, Mac Wilson, is here. Hi, Mac.
I haven't taken any vacations, Bill, so you better be on top of things.
I'm on top of things. Midday host, Barb Abney, is here as well. Hi, Barb. Welcome back.
Hello, Bill. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. On the docket, we'll discuss new albums from Eels and Passion Pit. But first, Wilco is back with its seventh album called Wilco the Album. Mr. Tweedy and the band have been a fun band to watch since their 1995 debut, AM, and have a pretty good track record to date. I don't think they've ever made a bad album. But since the beginning, I've always expected the unexpected, so it's interesting. Their current album brings me back to the golden era of late 60s and mid-70s AM pop radio. Wilco the Album could almost pass for leftovers from the Sky Blue Sky sessions. Guitarist Nels Klein continues to be one of the band's secret weapons, although he's more in a restrained state on this one. Another key player is piano man Michael Jorgensen, whose groove is the foundation of many songs. But Jeff Tweedy is still the star of the show. He's all about the songs and is developing into a classic great American songwriter with something to say. Here's one of the album's highlights. It's called Deeper Down.
By the end of the bout, he was punched out, his capsized muscles shouting deeper down. He felt the insult of a kiss. Deeper still than we can go, further out than triremes row, drowning slow. His memories persist. Out beyond the
Wilco, the album is called Wilco the Album. Mac, the radio announcer, is this album working for you?
Well, you know, Bill, that I'm a big Wilco fan, and the one thing about Wilco albums is that they really do take a couple of months for them to really absorb them, so yeah. I'm going to give you my opinion of it for after maybe half a dozen listens. Musically, I think it's actually kind of relatively uninspired. I mean, there's some pop numbers on it, but there's nothing that really jumps out. I mean, there's going to be stuff that seeps in after a while. This is an album where you really need to pay attention to the lyrics. It continues the lyrical thread of Sky Blue Sky, dealing a lot with relationships, both between presumably a couple, like between a man and a woman, and between musician and fan. I thought that was intriguing all over the place.
Wilco will love you, baby.
Yeah, exactly. So if you listen, reading it either one of those ways, it can work as a relationship or as a fan. They're talking, I think, You Never Know, the big pop number like Summer Teeth. That could be read as a relationship between fan and musician as well.
Band, so, and George Harrison, possibly.
Yeah.
See, I hear Sly and the Family Stone in that song.
I hear that
George
as
Harrison.
Well, yeah.
And I hear The Who's 515, so... They're back to mining the mid-70s thread, which is not a big deal because they've done it in the past. So I think lyrically, it really does intrigue me, but it's going to take quite a few listens to kind of get to the bottom of it. So it's working for me for now.
Barb Abney, how about you? Is it working for you?
Oh, absolutely. And I have to say that song Deeper Down is... It has replaced A Shot in the Arm as my favorite Wilco song now.
Right on.
Love that song. And the other one I'm really liking, the All Fights... It reminds me, I think it was Petula Clark that did I Love Him, I Love Him, I Love Him. Yeah, I hear that song.
It's got that Hammond B3 organ. That reminds me of an old Southern Soul number that might have been written by a guy like a Dan Penn, one of those songwriter guys that gave a lot of songs to a lot of different artists.
Okay.
But it's in a vein like that, but that's one of my highlights from the album, too.
I'll go, I'll go, I'll go, I'll go for you, I'll fight, I'll
The album kind of reeks of 60s and 70s pop and soul. It's a nice, soulful, you know, organic, very nice little record. I'm quite happy with it.
Yeah, I dig it.
I actually like the duet between Wilco and Feist. It's called You and I. And if the Walkmen hadn't had such a similar name for their record last year, I think You and I should have been the name of the album. Because Wilco the album with the camel on the cover wearing the party hat makes you think it's going to be kind of a silly, jovial thing. But no, it's more somber, like Sky Blue Sky. So that really threw me off the first couple of times that I listened to it. But once you think of You and I as the central track of the album, it makes everything around it work a lot better, too.
Me and you, what can we do? Well, the words we use sometimes are misconstrued. Well, I won't guess what's coming next. I can't ever tell you the deepest well I've ever fallen into.
Many have referred to this as the album for their fans. Do you think that there's some truth to that, Mac?
Well, when it opens up with Wilco the Song, which is all about the relationship between the band that you hear in your headphones and how it can improve your life, yeah, I could see that. And I hate to keep going back to the old canard that these songs are going to be better live, but this is just going to absolutely kill in their live show. They're working these into their live sets over 2 hours. They're really, I think they're pouring all of their energy into the live show now. It's almost like this record is almost incidental. It's like these songs actually come to life in concert. Not sure what I feel about that. Feels that we kind of get ripped off on the album, but still nice.
And they'll be up at the 10,000 Lakes Festival in just a few weeks. Wilco, the album, is the name of the new album from our friends Wilco. It's Music Heads from 89.3 The Current. Mark Everett has been in the game for a while. He made an album under the moniker E and recorded an album called A Man Called E way back in 1992. He's always been an ambitious artist, releasing a lot of material along the way. Much of his stuff is influenced by both the Beatles and Brian Wilson, only maybe a bit more edgy. Mark is now up to album number 7, the same number as Wilco, by the way, the 7th release from Eels. It's called Hombre Lobo, 12 Songs of Desire. Doesn't take a genius to figure out what the concept of this one is all about. With a unique point of view, Hombre Lobo means werewolf in Espanol. The album was partially inspired by E's ZZ Top-like facial hair and also is some sort of a sequel to his song Dogface Boy, which was found on his 2000 album Souljacker. Apparently, the character Dogface Boy has now grown up into a werewolf and is now experiencing various types of desire in his songs. Here is maybe the prettiest song on the album. It's called That Look You Give That Guy.
I never thought that I could be so bold to even say these thoughts aloud. I see you with your man, your eyes just shine while he stands tall and walking proud. That look you give that guy, I wanna see, looking right at me. Never let you do.
Eels' new work is Hombre Lobo, 12 Songs of Desire. Barb, is it working for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I dig this. I hear a lot of like classic, I hate to say classic Eels, but it sounds like a lot of...
They've been around long enough to call them classic.
I think
now.
So, yeah. But it doesn't sound like they're sticking to a one formula. Like I hear something and I'm like, wow, that's a continuation of Mr. E's Beautiful Blues. What is it? All the Beautiful Things, right? It sounds like Mr. E's Beautiful Blues Part 2.
I thought that one reminded me a little bit of maybe Paul McCartney or Nick Drake with that very spare, elegant arrangement.
Very pretty. And Tremendous Dynamite, I mean, it just smacks of like John Spencer Blues Explosion. Just the lines of it, the way he screams out that I am.
Yeah, that reminded me of maybe even the Black Alice Keys or the Chains. White Stripes. Or, yeah, it's kind of heavy. There's kind of a bluesy thing. Yeah, Alice in Chains, too. I hear you.
She is a formidable opponent. She could put her
up a hard won fight. Got her head screwed on real tight. Being the bomb is her birthright. She's tremendous. She's dynamite.
I really like this because it's all over the place. There's dancey stuff on it. And I know that when I grow up, I want to be a rock star so that I can make a concept album.
Very nice. Do you notice that the album is a little bit uneven or kind of a roller coaster ride? I don't know whether
Completely.
That's good or bad, but the first song,
tracks.
Yeah, it alternates tracks all the way through. Mac, mm-hmm. is it working for you?
No, it isn't, Bill. I think that this was a really disappointing album for me. I think that E has unnecessarily limited himself to songs about being a werewolf. It's basically the same lyrical ground. And it would be interesting if he had different ideas, but he's recycling himself by track 7. He has the werewolf howl on 2 different tracks. I thought that was kind of ridiculous. I think there's his melodies over the course of the album, his guitar riffs. He knows like 4 guitar riffs ever, and he repeats the same ones. A Tremendous Dynamite, that's just a flat-out terrible track. Maybe half of the song.
Sounds like you don't like any of the rockers, Mac.
No, I do like the rockers, but I've heard this before, and I've heard it from Eels before, like... track 3, Lilac Breeze. It's unbelievably catchy, but I mean, that's a guitar riff 101. And another thing is the werewolf character. He's supposed to be, like, sympathetic. You're supposed to relate with him. No, by 2/3 of the way through the album, he's not sympathetic. He's just creepy. I mean, seriously, there's songs about watching this girl and saying, oh, I need to make you mine. I can't wait to get you into bed. You can only take that so much before you start to worry about E. Has E ever had a girlfriend?
Can you get a girlfriend when you have a beard like that?
Well, yeah. I don't know if it's supposed to be autobiographical or not, but that was just a little bit off-putting, and I was disappointed across the board.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I think the album does have several moments. Mm-hmm. In My Dreams, I really thought that was a nice song.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah. Is he just dreaming about it like the title says? That's where this one fits. My love is resting in a tree. She whispers softly into the ear, and she lays next to me. And that was the funnest day. Now, what a song! And it seems optimistic and sunny, and there is some, you know, wholesomeness in some of his mm-hmm. thoughts too. It's not all just about sex.
My love is soaring. She glides through the sky. Hardly a warning, she takes my hand, says open your eyes. We look down on the earth and all its schemes. We laugh and it's all there in my dreams.
Well, you were talking about whether it's real or whether it's in a dream. Of course it's in a dream. All of these songs are about unrequited love. And when you hear 12 songs about unrequited love in a row, presumably all about the same woman, you realize why Eels had a song called Restraining Order Blues.
Makes
I can't get
sense.
Past that, Bill.
I can't even argue with you there, Mac.
I think Fresh Blood should be the new theme song for True Blood, the series. It's a vampire series. Mm-hmm. And I know it's... Well, I can't give it away because I've read this series of books, so I can't say anything, but it would fit. That's all I'll say.
I know you're probably getting ready for bed. Beautiful woman, get out of my head. I'm so tired of the same old crud. Sweet baby, I need fresh.
Eels, Hombre Lobo, 12 Songs of Desire. This is Music Heads from 89.3 The Current. Passion Pit is an electronic project put together by Michael Angelakos. Michael hails from Boston and has only the Dreamy Chunk of Change EP under his belt, which was done as a Valentine's Day present for his girlfriend. They were called A Band to Watch by MTV and even toured with Death Cab for Cutie. Passion Pit are back with their first long player called Manners. Michael and his girlfriend have since split up, gone as well as much of the dreamy feel of the initial EP. It's been replaced with more dark lyrics full of fear and doubt. The sound quality of this one has improved, and the band still delivers music in the style of old disco meets electro pop. Here's a track called Reeling from Passion Pit's new album, Manners.
Let's go.
Passion Pit. The album is Manners. Mac, is it working for you?
Yeah, I think this is a very entertaining listening experience all the way through. This isn't an album that's to be dissected or pored over or analyzed. It's just something to be listened to and enjoy. Just listen to the bass line on songs like To Kingdom Come.
Is it a real bass?
Listen to those big synths on The Reeling. Listen to the drum beats, the children's choirs on there. Everything is packed. It's just a pure pleasure all the way through. There's hardly a dud track on this. It's working for me.
Barb, how about you? Is it working for you?
I could not disagree with Mac Wilson more on
Amen.
This. I think that this thing is the throwaway album of the year. I like the song Reeling, but beyond that, like, I'm looking at my review of it, and it's like, ick, over-synthed 80s, smacks of Jermaine Stewart's We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off, and then John Mayer's endorsement of one of the best songs I've heard in a long time doesn't sell it to me.
That's
Moth's Wings.
That's the ballad.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard mixed reviews of it, and I think that it builds up to a nice climax, and I enjoy that.
I actually think that's the highlight of the album with the children's choir. It almost sounds a bit like Polyphonic Spree, but the rest of the album, I could live without, especially once you get to track number 5 and 6. Boy, they're precious, slow synth poppy, drum machine heavy on especially Swimming in the Flood.
Yeah, those are the ballads.
And that's almost a deal breaker for me. I don't want to go through the rest of the CD after I get to track number 6.
Effects on the vocals. I just can't.
Yeah.
Ew.
It sounds like if Of Montreal decided to go mainstream, and I think it actually works.
Of Montreal would be better. It would be better.
Yeah, I'm with Barb on this one. Passion Pit, the album is called Manners. Now it's time for the portion of the show where we invite you to get involved. It's the musical question of the week, and here's how it works. Every week we'll ask a question and you can join in. My guests and I will start off, then invite you to answer online. Today's question, who's a deceased artist you'd love to see come back from the great beyond to do one more show? Barb.
Up until I heard that Jeff Buckley special a couple weeks ago, I would have said Jeff Buckley, but I really think that his mom would just continue to cash in on his, you know.
She's very eager to do that.
Isn't she? So, no, I won't say Jeff Buckley here because I appreciate and respect his memory too much. I will say Brainiac. I will say Timmy Taylor from Brainiac. They're a band from out of Dayton, little punk band, did a few tours with like the Geraldine Fibbers. They did Lollapalooza, I think, 94 and 95, getting some label attention, had signed to Interscope. It was about to come out. Like, they were wooing the band, and Marilyn Manson showed up at their house to help woo the band to the label. But it, just a cult darling, and guys from Brainiac went on to work in Breeders, Sheesus, and Enon. You know, they've got some potential there. But Timmy Taylor died in May of 97 in a terrible car rash, which kind of put the kibosh on the release of the album. So I would like to see Timmy Taylor back to see Brainiac one more time.
One more time. Good answer. How about you, Mac?
I was thinking about artists who have kind of been taken away from us too soon because it's just such a shame because they were enjoying a career renaissance and they kind of unfairly got taken away. And that's the deal with my pick, Roy Orbison, actually.
Nice pick.
In the late 1980s, he was enjoying his renaissance with Traveling Wilburys. He did, You Got It was going to the top of the charts, and then he passed away just in his mid-50s. I just think that was, it's just such a shame, because I think that had he lived, who knows, he probably would have followed like a Johnny Cash career path and totally staked out a new name for himself. And I feel like he was taken away from us right when he was on the verge of that. So my pick is Roy Orbison.
I'm gonna say Jimi Hendrix. It's kind of
awesome.
An easy answer, but main reason being I've never had a chance to see him. He was gone before I was old enough to go to a concert. The guy invented the possibilities of electric guitar, and it hasn't been replicated since. And I've always been a big fan, eclectic stuff, and I just would love to see him come back for one more show to see how it's done. He doesn't even have to light a guitar on fire.
Oh, he'd have to, Bill. Come on.
But I would love to see Jimmy do one more show. I think that would be just fantastic.
I'd settle for digging up the sessions that he did with Miles Davis.
That wouldn't be bad either.
Wow. Wow.
So who's a deceased artist you'd love to see come back from the great beyond to do one more show? Give us your answer at thecurrent.org and look for Music Heads. Then follow the links to join the discussion. In this episode, we discussed albums from Passion Pit, their new one, Manners. We also discussed Eels, Hombre Lobo, 12 Songs of Desire, and Wilco, the album, as well. I'd like to thank Mac and Barb for joining me for Music Heads.
Thanks, man.
Mac will love you, Bill.
It's a wrap. It's been Music Heads. Thanks for checking it out. Subscribe to the podcast of the show by clicking on Music Heads when you go to thecurrent.org. Derek Stevens was our engineer. The program is produced and edited by Steve Seal. Michael Wells is the podcast production coordinator. And Julia Schrinkler manages the show's online discussion, which we want you to be a part of. Go to thecurrent.org and look for Music Heads, then follow the links to join the discussion. Thanks to members of Minnesota Public Radio who make shows like Music Heads possible. I'm Bill DeVille from 89.3 The Current, part of Minnesota Public Radio. Music Heads, is it working for you?